here in Matthew chapter number 9, and we're just going to read one verse real quick tonight. Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 38. Matthew 9 and verse 38. And if you want, let's stand as we read our scripture, and we'll stand for prayer too, and then we'll be seated tonight. But in Matthew chapter number 9 and in verse number 38, it says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, and God, I love you. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just please bless this time of preaching. And Lord, I just pray that it would only be pointing to you and to your word. God, remove me, remove my thoughts, my emotions, my words. And Lord, I just pray that you would be lifted up in this hour. And that God, that Lord, you would draw men to you and teach us your word. Help us as your people to grow and be in perfection, maturity, Lord, through the preaching of the word of God. Lord, now we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to introduce tonight another aspect of the church service, and we will get more specifically into it next Sunday night, Lord willing. But we want to look at the ordination and what ordination is, because I believe in a lot of ways it is one of the most misunderstood concepts in the Word of God for the New Testament church. And ordination is not a ceremony. It's not something that or a program that the church goes through, all right? What ordination is, it is the church recognizing and electing someone to a certain position or to an office that it is clear that God's hand is upon. I'll give you more exact on that. Ordination is for when the church sees that God has called someone to pastor or to preach the word of God, to be a missionary, and we know that deacons are also ordained in the Bible. It is the church recognizing that God has called this person to fulfill this role. And so we want to study that in the next few weeks about why God has ordination and the fact that God has called them to a specific ministry. I have been ordained, this church ordained me in 1997 as a preacher, a pastor, to serve at that time, an assistant to the pastor. Didn't have to reordain me. I was ordained to be a pastor. We'll talk about this on a Thursday night in the near future, about how the Bible teaches a plurality of pastors many times, having one head pastor. But again, I was ordained to be a pastor in 1997. I don't know what year Brother Slee was ordained. Do you remember Brother Slee? 1994, ordained into being a pastor. We have ordained deacons. We have ordained missionaries. I believe the most recent was Brother Roberts and his ordaining, and as we sent him out to plant a church. Now, why do we do that? Well, we do it because the Bible gives us that biblical example and that we should follow it. So we want to look at it, and it's something that, church, if you catch anything, this is the thrust of tonight's message. It should be something that we long to do often. The Bible says Jesus gave us command in our text here, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." It should be the prayer of every one of us as members of Cazadale Baptist Temple that the Lord will raise up more to serve in these offices. That the Lord will bring up another. You know, I think it would be an ideal situation if the next pastor of this church was from within this church. I believe God wants to call more missionaries and send them out of our church. And those would be people that will be here among us. Praying about a deacon or two and what God would have for us there. But we should be praying. This should be something that is seen often in a church. Because if we are sending people out and starting other churches and sending people out to be missionaries and growing as a church, there should be a need for more help and more laborers. And again, it's not being selfish. The Lord told us to pray for this. He told us to pray that God would bring up laborers. And where should those laborers be? We've already studied this in the first half of the year, in the local church. And so God, if we're praying correctly and God is blessing accordingly, we will have more people being raised from within the church who will take these places and become missionaries and become evangelists and become pastors and become deacons as the church and its ministries begin to grow. That should be something that we see happening. That should be something that we should desire to see happening. And we should want that. And so let's look at this first part tonight. Next week we'll look at more of the process of ordination. But what I want to focus on tonight is this, the call. The call. It is my prayer that God calls some young men into the ministry. And that God would call some older men into the ministry. I'll give you an example of each in the Bible tonight. It should be all of our desire. You say, well, if we send everybody out, there won't be anybody here. You know what? I've never seen God ever do that to a church. If God sends people, he always brings people too. And I'd rather be a church of 100 people sending out missionaries than to be a church of 200 people doing nothing for the Lord. I mean, what are we here for? And so that should be our desire. And the more God does this, the more we should have ordination. We should be able to see more people ordained. I want all of our young men tonight, every one of them. I want every man in this church tonight to have the Spirit of God. If you want me, I'll go. That should not scare any believer. Amen. I totally lost you already, and I'll keep hammering it until you amen it, all right? That should be our desire. Now, I know there may be some that may be a matter of qualification to be a pastor or something, but it's not right to put God in a box and say, I'm not going to do that. Everyone should be willing to do the will of God. And if for some reason it frightens you to pray for God's will in your life and be surrendered to it, I would start this service by coming forward now and asking God to change your heart. You know, I got in the car today and my wife was like, well, that was a good sermon. She says that no matter what I preach. I'm not naive, right? It's not good every time. I looked there and said, it was blunt. But I knew that's what God wanted this morning for whatever reason. And I know this is for tonight, that God should be free to call any man into the service of the Lord that is qualified and ready to go. You say, well, I'm 68. God may want you to spend the next 5 years of your life on a mission field. Praise the Lord. Doesn't line up with my plans. Well, it didn't line up with a lot of these people's plans. But none of them have any regrets. You may be 16, 17. God called me to preach when I was 16 years old. As much as I know God called me to be saved, I know God called me to the ministry. I know it as much as I'm standing here in front of you. I know that God called me. I know that. The fact is this, if you'll ask God to show you, you'll know too. I don't expect 30 people. I don't expect two. I have no expectation. Other than the fact that we should be willing. We should be willing. So I'm going to give you a talk about this call tonight. Now, I'll let you off the hook a little bit. Ladies, God's not going to call you to pastor. So you're free. You're free on this, right? There'll be no conviction in your life on being called to pastor. You know, Miss Carol Wilson sitting back there. God will not call her to pastor tonight, all right? It isn't going to happen. God's not going to do that, all right? You say, well, I don't have to listen then, right, ladies? Every man who God does call has to have a wife who is submitted to that calling in her husband's life. And being willing. So this message is for all of us tonight. So let's talk about the call tonight. I want to see an example of a divine call. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we're going to look at two different examples, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, of this calling, this divine calling of God. In 1 Samuel chapter number 3, here we're going to read about a young man named Samuel. Samuel's a young man. How old exactly is Samuel? No one really knows exactly his age. We know he's old enough to be weaned, old enough to be serving. Guesses somewhere between 10 and 16, 17. I know we put a big gap there, but no one really knows how old he was. But here we're going to read about Samuel, and I want you to catch some things, how God called Samuel. Because God hasn't changed the way he calls, other than the fact that you're not going to hear an audible voice out of heaven at 3 in the morning. If you do, you ate something weird before you went to bed. All right, that's not how God works now. But we'll look at it real quick in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Look at this with me, verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou dost call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. I want you to see a couple of things about God's calling. Now Samuel would go on to be one of the great prophets in the Word of God. Samuel was the one who would go on to anoint King David. He would do much and lead Israel in the right path. But here is his calling. What do you see first of all? I want you to notice first, he was busy serving. He was busy serving. In verse number 1, look what it says, and the child ministered unto the Lord. He was busy serving God. Now this is obviously something that God wants to highlight in this, because look at a few other verses. Look in chapter number 2. Look in verse number 11 of chapter number 2. It says in chapter 2 and verse number 11, and Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli. Look in chapter 2 and in verse number 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. In chapter 3 again, in verse number 1, and the child ministered unto the Lord. The Lord and the Holy Spirit gives us in His Word very specifically and wants us to see this, that this young man was busy serving the Lord. Do not wait until you're called to serve the Lord. It is God's calling for every believer to be busy serving the Lord. And God will always call out of those who are serving. Those who are busy doing whatever God places before them, be it singing in the choir, going on soul winning, teaching a Sunday school, cleaning the auditorium, whatever it may be, you know this is God's ministry for you right now. When you're busy serving, doing what you know you should do, it allows an open ear for God to call from out of that. This young man was busy serving. God calls those who are serving. That's why I encourage everyone to be involved in some sort of ministry in the church. You know, and maybe at the place you're in, you know, like I talked to my dad this week and this morning, you know, and he could not be here. He cannot preach. He cannot drive a bus. He cannot, lots of things he used to do that he cannot do. You say, is he still involved? The entire time I was preaching, he was praying this morning. Praying for this service. Praying for this service tonight. That's an awesome ministry.
No matter what place you have, just do what God allows you to do. And perform it. Because those who are sitting around doing nothing, God doesn't call from there. Those who aren't doing anything for the Lord, God wants us to be busy. So you see, Samuel was in service. He was busy. Then I want you to see the setting where God called this young man. You'll see in verse number 1 that the word was precious. It says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Now don't get ahead of me. That does not mean that everybody loved it. It means rare. It was precious. It was rare. You see it in the continuation of this verse. There was no open vision. There weren't as many prophets as there should have been. And the one prophet we know, as Eli was serving as priest, he was failing. People had no interest in hearing God's voice. People had no interest in hearing the word of God shared. People had no interest in doing what God wanted to be done. People, the word of God was precious in those days. People didn't want to hear it, and they weren't seeking him. So God looked for someone who was busy and serving, because God needed someone. It isn't that God's work can't go on without you or me. It can and it will. But God wants to use us. And maybe God, maybe there's a young man or a man in this church that God wants to use you in the next years ahead to be a blessing to a missionary, to go and to be called to go to some foreign field, or to become a pastor. Just be busy serving God, and know, because there is coming a day, if the Lord doesn't come back, that Brother Slee and I cannot do it anymore. I mean, that's my next point. You see, it was a time of the weariness of the pastor. In verse number 2, it says there that Eli was laid down in his place. He was tired. His eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. His vision was fading. There came a point in my grandpa's ministry that he knew it was time for him to step down. Not because he struggles with a brain disease now, but it was before that. He was weary. And his vision wasn't what it used to be. Not that he was wrong with God. These bodies wear down. My uncle became the pastor of the church. Now, a good man, Brother Patrick Delaria, is pastoring that church. He's a young man, doing a good work, and the church is growing again, and I'm thankful for that. But church, God, there are plenty of mission fields where there's no one preaching the truth. And let's just put it right where it is. Do you think that's God's will, that no one is going to these places sharing the gospel? No, because God told us to go into all the world. Now, because Adult Baptist Temple cannot go to every country, totally get that. But if we can reach one more. What I fear is that we have a generation of older men that are set in our ways that we just not interested, and that's not right. And we have a generation of younger men starting their families that thinks, well, this will just mess up all my plans, and I just can't do it. Well, that's not right either. We have a generation of younger men, 16, 17, and 18, who are starting their life that won't even consider this an option because they want to make money or do something else. I hope God blesses you and you become a multimillionaire. Just keep on tithing, all right? If that's what God wants. But I'd rather you go out and live in a hut and share God's gospel every day and be in his will than to have the highest office building in Cincinnati. Serve God. See, are you recruiting tonight? Sure. Because God said to pray for laborers. Amen? Pray for laborers. Now, God's not going to call everyone. I get that. But God, you see the setting here. The Word of God was precious. Do we live in a country today that needs the Word of God? Boy, do we ever. Do we live in a country today where most people don't care about the Word of God? Yes, we do. Are people longing to hear the preaching of the Word of God? I didn't see a line to get in tonight. We got a great number tonight, but they weren't packing out, and Goshen didn't shut down all the stores and say, hey, we're all going to Kazadel tonight, right? Didn't happen. The Word of God's precious in these days. And I'm thankful. I'm still young, right? Please say yes, all right? But I'm telling you, in our area, Greater Cincinnati, just in the last 5 years, multiple pastors have either passed away or had to step down because they just can't do it anymore. And that's not a negative. They served faithfully. Thank God for these men. So who's coming up next? I know 5 churches right now in Cincinnati that love to have a pastor. They're looking for one. They're praying for one. Where are they at? Amen. You see the surrender in his life. You see his service. You see the setting. Then you see his surrender. You see, first of all, the calling in verse 4 and 5. The Lord called Samuel. You see his calling. Now, in all these verses, and I already read them, I'm not going to read them again. Samuel heard it, he knew it, and it moved him. Anybody catch those points? He heard it, he knew he heard it, and it moved him. He jumped up. He heard it, he knew he heard it, and it moved him. Say, how will I know, preacher, if God's calling me? You'll hear it, and you'll know it. And it will move you. You'll know you need to surrender to this. You see his counter, his response to this. The Lord said in those 3 times, Samuel, and Samuel heard it. He knew it, and it moved him every time. Of course, he thought it was Eli at first, and he ran to Eli and said, I heard you. What do you need? It wasn't me. And finally, Samuel realized Eli figured out what was going on. But here was, I love his response. Look down there in verse number 4. The Lord called Samuel, and he answered. What are those 3 words? Here am I. Verse number 6, the Lord yet called Samuel, and Samuel arose and went, and Eli, and he said what again? Here am I. I love his answer. Here am I. That ought to be the answer to every man in this room. Here am I. It isn't that God didn't know where he was. We all understand that, right? Ooh, God, here I am. That's not the response. That's not the intention of here am I. It was him recognizing to God that I am before you. Here I am. And when we want to respond to the call of God, so what should I do? Number one, you'll know it. You'll hear it. For months, I knew God was knocking on my heart. I knew that's what God wanted me to do. I fought it because I wanted to be a history teacher. I know I'm a nerd, but that's what I wanted to do. Loved history. Wanted to teach it. It's what I wanted. I fought it because I just knew everyone would say, you're doing it because your daddy or grandpa. Just being honest, that was my thinking. And I even questioned myself on that. But my answer was pretty clear because I didn't want to do it at first. I wanted to teach history. So I fought this, but I knew it. I heard it. I knew it. And I could tell you all kinds of things that God did in my life during those times. And they're fun stories. If you ever want to take me out for a steak, I'll tell you the stories. All right? But there came a point when I was 16 in Florida at a youth conference. A man was preaching, and I heard it again, and I knew it. and I went forward and I surrendered to it. And I'm thankful that God has given me the privilege to serve him in that way. It wasn't just Samuel's response, by the way. When God called Abraham in Genesis 22:1, Abraham said, "Here am I." When God called Jacob in Genesis 46 and verse number 2, Jacob said, "Here am I." In Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 4, when God called Moses, Moses' response was, "Here am I." In Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 8, when God spoke to Isaiah, Isaiah said, "Here am I." In Acts chapter number 9, Ananias, when God spoke to him, he said, his first response was, "Here am I." It would do us great tonight if we all just came forward tonight and just said, "God, I just want you to know, here am I. If you want me, if you need me, here am I." And if that's something we're unwilling to do, you can straighten your halo and fix your tie all you want to, but you're not right with God. If you're not willing to say, "Here am I." I'll be a psalmist and add a Selah on there. Let us think about that a second. We should be willing to say, "Here am I, God." You see the calling, you see his counter, then you see some confusion. In verses 5, 6, and 7, he ran to Eli. Eli said, "It wasn't me." He ran to Eli again. "Wasn't me." Ran to Eli again. "Wasn't me." But then he caught on what was going on. So I just think it's scripture, and I'm telling you my experience too. When the Lord begins to knock on your heart for this, you'll probably be confused at first too. "Really me? Are you sure, God? Do you think Brother Salih argued with God on that? Me? God, am I just doing it because my grandpa does? My dad does? I know that's all people are going to say. So no. That was me." And we kind of banter with God. "Are we sure, God? Are we sure?" But I promise you this, if your attitude is, "Lord, here am I," he will confirm it. You'll know. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not trying to pull emotion strings and stuff like that. I could, right? But I'm not doing that because I don't want to emotionally make some decision. It needs to be Holy Spirit led. I don't know how many, if we have 100 people here, God's not going to send out 70 of us, all right? He's not going to do that. 7 would be awesome. 1 would be tremendous. And maybe God has no intention of calling anyone into a specific service here. We'll all be faithful to God's house. Amen. But what is wrong with everybody in this church saying, "Here am I"? You think it would change our spiritual life? Yes, it would. There was some confusion. He went and said, "Is this?" And then Eli gave him some counsel. And I love his counsel in verse number 9. Look at it with me real quick. Number 1, he told him to be available. He said in verse number 9, this is good counsel. Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down. Be available. Son, go listen again." That's all I've been challenging everybody to do tonight. Be available. Take a moment tonight before you leave this auditorium to say, "God, if you want me, I'm listening. Here am I." He said to be available. Then secondly, you see it here in his counsel, he told him not to assume. Look what it says in verse number 9. It says, "Go lie down and it shall be," what's the next word? "If." Eli didn't tell him it was going to happen. "If he calls you." So I don't assume anybody in this auditorium. All I'm saying tonight is trying to give you biblical counsel. Number 1, to be available. And number 2, don't assume, just be listening. And if he calls you, do answer. And he gives him a great answer. Look what Eli told him to say. "If he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I like his counsel here. I'll just give it to you real quick, what I wrote down. He put the preeminence on the Word of God. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. He wanted to hear a word from the Lord. Now, God's not going to speak to any of us in an audible voice tonight, but He still gives us His Word. God will call you, and God will confirm it through His Word. And you see the Word in its preeminence, and then you see a willing person. Thy servant heareth. God, I'm willing. If this is what you want for me, I am willing. Look at a New Testament example in Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9, for time's sake, we won't go into the detail, but you're going to see the same thing. In Acts chapter number 9, look with me in verse number 15. Acts chapter 9, and in verse number 15. Now again, this is when Saul, he's walking on the road to Damascus. He is not a young man. He is not a 10-year-old. He is not a 16-year-old. He is an older man. I don't know his exact age, but he was old enough to walk around and having earned respect from all the Pharisees, having been given a position of leadership amongst the rulers of the Jews to arrest people, had authority to put them to death. This is not a novice. He's an older man. He's walking down the road and he gets saved. Amen. Then he's there waiting on the Lord in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 15. But the Lord said unto him, again, this is when he spoke to Ananias. It says in verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God chose Saul for a ministry. Now we know him, apart from the Lord Jesus, to become, without a doubt, one of the greatest missionaries that's ever lived. Amen? God had this calling upon his life. Now God, again, he told Ananias that he was a chosen vessel, but Saul did not get this calling. Turn over a few more pages to Acts chapter number 13. In Acts chapter 13, it says here in verse number 1, Acts 13, Paul found himself serving in the church at Antioch. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord. Sound familiar? Remember Samuel? He was ministering to the Lord. As they ministered to the Lord. Number one, you see, here he is serving God in his local church. He was just busy serving the Lord. Amen? Here he is, he's busy serving, and it is then the Spirit of God called him out. In verse number 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have what? God already had this plan ages before. And now Saul is in a place. He had spent some time growing in the Lord. Now he's in a church. He is busy serving the Lord. And now God says, I called this man ages ago. And now he's ready. Separate him. And after prayer and pointing him out, you see Saul leaving with power and authority from the church there. In verse number 4, you see a surrender. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed into Seleucia. So there goes Saul, having been called by God into the ministry. An older man going to serve on the mission field. But you see the parallel between them both. They both were serving. They both were busy. The Holy Spirit called them into what God had planned for them. So you see the examples of a divine call. Number two, you see the essentials for a divine call. The essentials. Again, turn over real quick to Ephesians chapter number 4. The essentials of a divine call. In Ephesians chapter number 4 and in verse number 7. Ephesians 4 and in verse number 7 says this. But unto every one of us is given grace, Ephesians 4 and in verse number 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Every one of us have gifts to serve God here in the local church. God has given all of us gifts. Verse number 9, now he that ascended, what is it? But he also that descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some pastors, or some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God does call some to be pastors, evangelists, missionaries. God calls them. What are the essentials? Well, number one, it needs to be a God-given desire. A God-given desire. Again, remember when we studied there in Timothy the qualifications for a pastor. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, but if a man desire the office of a bishop, there will be in every God-called man a desire to do the work. A desire, a God-given desire. The Lord will speak to you. Say, how will I get that desire? How will God speak to me today? He'll speak to you through the scriptures. He'll speak to you. How many missionaries have come through and they give their testimony, and this is where we're going, and this, and they share a verse where they knew God called them and where God called them to? How did that happen? God used the Word of God to speak to them. The Lord spoke to them through the scriptures. I believe the Lord speaks through sermons, through the preaching of the Word of God. I believe God speaks through us taking time to be still and listen. Because a lot of times we're so busy and we're doing everything that we do that we don't take the time to stop and listen to God. But it's a God-given desire, and He'll give you gifts to do the work. He'll give you the gifts. Now those gifts, when God first calls you, are probably just like in me, and you have no idea how raw those gifts are. So much needed to be, just like anything, used and improved and grow in these gifts. But you'll see the gift. And as they keep serving, you'll see that gift grow. So you see the essentials for a divine call. Number three, you'll see evidences of a divine call. Evidences of a divine call. Again, there's no uniform pattern. And God's not going to open up the roof here and say, I have called, you know, fill in the blank, right? Thaddeus Wilson, right? That's not going to happen tonight. But we as a church, look at me, we will know. We'll know when God has that calling upon someone's life. If you're that person, you will know. It will be as real to you as you're sitting here. See, what are the evidences, whether you're the person that God's dealing with right now or as a church, and as we have a responsibility to lay hands suddenly on no man. Just because someone gets up and says, hey, I'm going to go to Burma and be a missionary, we don't lay our hands and ordain them and send them off and do that. We observe them. We watch them. Because there should be evidences of this call. What are they? Well, I believe, number one, they will have a conviction that they are called. They will have that God-given desire. So what do you mean a conviction? That means this. If someone tries to tell them they're not called, they can't accept it. There were some that told me, you're just caught up in things. And I was willing to accept that. But I couldn't get away from it. My brother Salih's own testimony, I'm just rehashing it, what he's already told us before. There were people, when he shared that he was called to preach, that told him, you cannot do that. I'm sure it discouraged him, and I'm sure he thought, maybe I can't. But he couldn't get away from it. Because it will not just be a, you know, if you have someone that's around and says, I think I'm called. Yeah, I'm called. No, I'm not called. Yes, I'm called. No, I'm not called. That person, A, is either not walking with God, or B, they're just playing games. Because if God calls you, you're going to know it. I'm not saying you won't falter at times and question. I already said there's times of confusion. But given a time period, you'll know that God has called you. There'll be a conviction that you're called, and then you're going to see a comprehension of the Scriptures. Because when God calls in these positions, there are certain gifts that come with it. For a pastor is going to be apt to teach, an understanding, a learning of the Scriptures, and an understanding of the Scriptures. They'll be able to study the Word of God, and God begins to speak to them, and they begin to see things. Not that anything new. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, all right? And if I ever get up and say, God has shared something with me and he's never shared with anyone else before, I guarantee I'm wrong. I'm wrong, all right? But you'll see them growing in the Lord. They'll begin to look. Have you ever sat in a service sometime and you've heard a man of God preach and you just say, wow, didn't ever see that. I have so many times, I can't even tell you how many times. What is going on? That man has a gift from God. And they're using it for his glory, and they're teaching the Word of God. You'll see in a person, another evidence, I believe, will be a continuing eloquence. You'll see this person get more developed as a speaker, as a teacher. My first sermon, and I'm sure you long for those days, was in I surrendered to preach in a summer month, I forget which month it was, down in Florida. Got back. When I got back, my dad told me I should walk the aisle and let the church know, because you serve through the church. And so I walked the aisle. My grandpa met me. He let the church know. And he used to hold a mic down at the communion table. He'd share any decisions made. And then he said, God called him to preach. And everybody, amen, pretty much, I guess. I don't know. I know somebody didn't. And they amen. And he said, all right. He said, you're preaching Tuesday night at the nursing home. I had been called to preach 4 days, you know. And if you would have been there, my first sermon was like 3 minutes. And I had prepared for an hour. Not just hour preparation. I thought the sermon was going to last an hour, right? 3 minutes. I know, you're like, please bring those days back, right? I get that. Then we had a watch night service every year. And he had me preach at that. Became our Sunday afternoon nursing home. He had me going and preaching at that. He put me in junior church. Had me preaching in it. Then he gave me a Wednesday night. Remember, I was 17. I preached to the entire church on a Wednesday night. I was scared to death. Again, about 6 minutes. And the whole church loved it, right? This is awesome. But why did he do that? Because when a God calls a man to preach, you need to start developing that. And using that. And you'll see a continuing eloquence as he begins more confidence, begins to explain and expound and exhort the church. You'll see it will be, and you should see this in their preaching, that it's spirit controlled. Again, if a 13-year-old surrenders to preach, all right, don't expect them to get up and flaming tongues of fire to be over all of our heads, all right? They got to grow in some things, but they need that opportunity. There should be some soul drawing to preaching and saints encouraged. But you see a continuing elegance, and then you'll see a clear discernment. So what do you mean by a clear discernment? There came a point. I'll go back. In Samuel's life, Israel knew that Samuel was God's man. It took a while because of Saul's background, but there came a point where every church knew this is God's man. There was a time, and I was just a teenager, and I was not a model child. 16, 17, 18, the church watched. We'll see. But there came to be an understanding amongst the church, yes, he's got some work to do, but God has called him. And I believe that same process would take place in our church too. God, it happened with Brother Harris. We went through it with Brother Roberts. And I hope we go through it again and again and again. That the church watch and observe as they begin to get involved in the work of God. Which brings me to our last point. They'll be looking for created opportunities. They will find ways to serve. Someone who's called into the ministry will find things to do. Did you hear me on that? They'll find things to do. They won't sit around and wait till they're told to do everything. They'll find it. Hey, we got an empty van. There's a town of Blanchester. Can I start a route? I remember when Brother Roberts first went out, there was a pastor that called me. And Brother Roberts was my first from ground zero to sending out. I inherited Brother Harris. It's a blessing. But, you know, Brother Roberts, and there was a pastor that called me and said, we're praying about having Brother Roberts in. Oh, that'd be great. He said, I want to know before we have him in, what ministry has he done there and how successful was it? And he's exactly right. Because if they're not going to be busy here, they're not going to be busy elsewhere. Someone who is called will find things. They'll just hang out at church because they just want to serve. They'll go and make the extra visit. Whatever it takes to serve a little bit more, to study a little bit longer, to give an opportunity to speak, to oversee a ministry, awesome. And I close with this thought real quick, the engagement of a divine call. If God calls a man, He didn't make a mistake. So don't think He started with you. If God calls you, I did not say man can't mess up. Any man can mess up and lose that privilege. But God didn't make the mistake. So if God has that calling on your life, don't argue with God saying, I can't do it. No, if God called you, you can do it. Look at a few verses with me and we'll close. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. We're going to look at three verses. If you'll look at them with me, then I'll pray. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 7 and in verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 20 says this, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. If God has called you to do a work, then do it. Don't run from it. Do it. Turn over to 2 Timothy, a few pages to the right. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and in verse number 9. Now there are times. There are times that we may need to stop. I know my dad, at different times in his ministry, took a moment, you know, and served in some different capacity than pastoring or assistant pastor. There may be times of that because of situations, health reasons, just situations in the church, family reasons, whatever it may be. Those are fine. And we shouldn't get upset like we just read and heard about the Mueller family that we support coming off the field to work on some things in their family. Say, what should we do? Pray for them that they get rebuilt and go back again somewhere. We're not going to cast stones at them. Because understand that everybody who's called to be a pastor, deacon, missionary, evangelist, they have a target on their back from the devil. Sometimes they may need to stop and take their breath. And that's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of being wise. Because the worst thing you can do is jump into something when you're not ready for it. Here in 2 Timothy, when I surrendered to preach, I walked down the aisle and a man met me. And I told him what I had come forward for. His name was Brother Richard. And Brother Richard took me, he said, well, let me show you a verse. He took me to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9. It says this, who has saved us. And he looked at me, and I'll never forget it. It was hot. We were in a big old gym. He said, let me ask you a question, Travis. He said, are you saved? Yes, sir, I'm saved. Then he went, kept on reading, and called us with a holy calling. Do you feel God's calling you into this? Yes, I do. Not according to our works, That was definitely me. But according to his own purpose and grace. Then he said, look at this, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Didn't that blow your mind? Before God created light, he called Rick Salee into the ministry. Isn't that awesome? Only me and Brother Sutherland think that's awesome, but that's awesome. Before God ever spoke this world into existence, he had a calling for the Apostle Paul and for Travis Berg. You say, why would you share that? Why would you want to run away from something God has planned for you for 8,000 years? Don't you think he can take care of you? What plan do you think you have concocted in your last few years that would be better than his 6,000+ year plan? Before the world began. Turn over last verse in Jeremiah chapter 20. In Jeremiah chapter number 20. And in verse number 9. Jeremiah chapter 20 and in verse number 9. Jeremiah got frustrated. Nobody would listen to him. And pretty much 100% of all preachers that have ever preached have gotten to this point in their life. Weekly. When they think, am I making a difference? And he decided he was done. Then I said, I will not make mention, Jeremiah 20, verse number 9, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. That's the divine call. That when God has this calling on your life, you're miserable unless you do it. So all I'm asking, we'll get into the ordination next week, but this is who we're talking about. Those who have a divine call. And I would encourage everyone in this auditorium, y'all don't have to come and bow and eat an altar, although it wouldn't hurt any of us. But every one of us should be willing to say, God, here am I. However you can use me, whatever you would want, I'll be listening. And I'm willing. I would love to see God call in the next 5 years another missionary, another pastor. Let God have his way. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings.